AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jabba Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, spicy with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC. And we have a massive UFC event this weekend. UFC Abu Dhabi live on ABC, main evented by Robert Whittaker and Rainer Day Ritter. Massive, massive main event. I'm very excited for this entire card. Overall, loaded with ranked fighters. We are going to be covering every single matchup, dropping our predictions and our thoughts on what will go down on the card. Also, going to be looking at the current rankings updates and some new UFC fights. We have a lot of UFC fight updates that we're going to be diving into to kick off today's episode. But yeah, all UFC on today's episode. I was debating doing some more SummerSlam talk, but I'm going to let it play out another week, and then we can talk about some new matches that have been added, because they have added an Intercontinental Championship match. They're probably going to add a tag team match. That's going to be going down in 2 weeks. But yes, August coming up quickly, guys. We have 1 week left in July, and July has been a pretty good month. I would say, I'd say every single month is a good month in my life, whether I deal with troubles or not. I always just try and look for the brighter side in things. But I say we waste no more time. I'm very much looking excited to UFC Abu Dhabi, as we are 192-98 on predictions for the year. So if I go +6 on predictions, we'll finally be +100. This is to date, in my 5 years of annual picking, my best year of predictions I've ever made. I've actually gotten better year over year over year. We're just continuing to level up. But let's not waste any time, because we have a ton of new UFC fights to bring to your guys' attention. So in no particular order, but I will save the big four for last. So kicking us off, we have a new matchup for UFC Vegas 108, as tragically Torres Finney has pulled out of his contest with Azamat Bekov, and Azamat will instead be taking on Yuzri Belgori. Yeah, very sad. You know, Torres Finney versus Azamat Bekov was going to be one of the biggest meme fights of all time. It was just some comedic fan matchmaking, if you will, in the UFC. It was like, let's just make it happen. Azamat is 20-3, which with I think 17 finishes or something ridiculous. He's knocked out Ryan Loader and Zachary Reese in round one through his first two UFC fights. Dude has been an absolute killer. As for Yuzri Belgori, dude's got 0-2 on the Contender Series. I'm actually a little confused how he's even getting a shot in the UFC, but this should be teed up for another Azamat round one knockout, and then let's just rebook that Torres Finney fight, because that is going to be super funny when it happens. Another matchup, this one for UFC 321, going down in Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates. That's right, Abu Dhabi getting multiple trips this year, as Azat Maksoum back in action as he takes on Mitch Raposo. Mitch Raposo making a quick little turnaround after losing to someone. He lost to someone last time. I can't even remember. But I know for Azat Maksoum, he recently lost to Tagir Ulenbekov. And his fights against Charles Johnson, Tagir Ulenbekov, both high level, both so close. Dude is 17-2. He's 1-2 in the UFC. Do not judge him by that. He should run through Mitch Raposo and be right back in the running for a ranked opportunity. Here's one for you. UFC Perth going down September 27th. Navajo Sterling 7-0 back. The undefeated man from New Zealand, who holds wins over Ivan Erslan and Tuco Tucos, is looking to pick up a win over Rodolfo Bellotto. Rodolfo Bellotto 1-0 with a loss and a no contest. If you actually, not even lost, a draw in a no contest. He knocked out Ayor Patera, then he had a draw against, who was it, Jimmy Crute, and then the no contest against Paul Craig. He's had just the most random run I've seen so far, but this is a high level contest between unranked light heavyweights. I mean, this is something I could see where the winner is getting a ranked opportunity, but right now they're both still young in their UFC journeys. I'll be very curious to see who I elect to go with in like 2 or 3 months whenever this goes down, because I am just, you know, pretty high on both of them. So we'll see if it can survive till then, but that is a very high level contest. Also on that UFC Perth card going down September 27th, bantamweight action, as Colby thick knees, looking to bounce back after his professional defeat as he takes on Josias Mousasi, who is also looking to bounce back. Colby Thick Knees, unfortunately, had to take on, Alexander Topuria, the older brother, I think it's the older brother, actually, of Iya Topuria, and just was manhandled by him, just never stood a chance. And as for Josias Mousasi, was a massive favorite against, gosh, I know he's Colombian, or maybe he's Ecuadorian, I have no idea. I cannot remember his name. That's just how irrelevant the guy he was fighting is. He was actually on the Ultimate Fighter. But dude is just so average, and somehow Josias lost to him. So both guys looking to bounce back. Perfect time to do that is in Perth. Still on that Perth card. Tons of updates. Women's strawweight action as the number 14th ranked Loma Luke Boonmi, 7-2. And the UFC actually holds a win over Denise Gomez, of all people. Welcomes Alexera Tanera, whoever she is, destroyed Molly McCann. Actually retired Molly McCann. So it's how bad of a victory she suffered, or how bad of a defeat she handed Molly McCann. 12-1 against the 10-3 Loma Luke Boonmi, whose actual name is Sufusara Konayak. It says Loma Luke Boonmi in quotations, but that's her actual listed name. I don't know what that means, but this should be a high level contest. Good fight in Perth. That Perth card is being loaded up with fights, and I absolutely love it. UFC Vancouver going down October 18th has a middleweight matchup between Danny Barlow, who's actually moving up in weight after suffering his first professional defeat, to take on Jordan Santos. Did Jordan Santos lost his UFC debut? I recall the name, but I don't recall who he fought. However, I think Danny Barlow should handsomely win this, but with how bad his chin looked against Sam Patterson, I don't know how it's going to go. That one's going down in Vancouver. I'll be excited when we go to Vancouver. That's going to be a fantastic card to watch. September 13th has a middleweight matchup on UFC Noche in San Antonio, Texas, as Jose Medina is back after being absolutely ran through by Teba Gadir to take on the 3-6 in the UFC 12-6 especially Dusko Todorovic. Who keeps giving Dusko Todorovic shots? Who keeps giving Dusko Todorovic these opportunities? I have no idea. Somehow, Dusko holds a win over Michelle Pereira. Did you know that? Before he came to the UFC, he held a win over Michelle Pereira. Unreal. I don't know how that was allowed to happen. But yeah, that matchup is going down, and oh my gosh, I don't even know who to pick. They both are absolute buns, absolutely terrible. I just hope it's entertaining. UFC Rio de Janeiro, October 11th, heavyweight action. Hanada Dinez back in action following his victory over Alvin Guzzi Hines, as he takes on Mario Pinto. Mario Pinto, 10-0, 1-0 in the UFC, had one of the best comebacks of the year, might be in running for comeback of the year against, who was it, Austin Lane. Both of these guys have actually knocked out Austin Lane, comedically enough. Mario, absolutely excellent knockout. Mario was actually called out by a Walter Walker, of all people. So I think if Mario wins, he should fight Walter Walker. And if Hanada Dinez wins, he should fight, gosh, I don't even know, Muhammad Usman beats me. But yeah, let's just keep doing heavyweight fights until one of them ends up being a banger. At some point, they have to give us a good heavyweight contender to actually throw, because Tom Aspinall is just running through everyone. UFC Perth, another matchup. Luiana Carolina back in the women's bantamweight division as she welcomes the debuting Michelle the Wild One Montague. She is from New Zealand. She is 33 years old, and she's probably going to absolutely murk Luiana Carolina. I'm excited for it. She's coming actually over from the PFL, oddly. Trains the American Top Team. Some exciting stuff overall. Luiana Carolina, can't remember if she's coming off a win, but she does hold wins over Priscilla Castroeda and Lupi Godinez. Two very excellent women, both getting high-level fights in their next appearances. Here's one for you. Tatiana Suarez and Amanda Lemos going at it in the women's strawweight division. Tatiana, 10-1, suffered her first professional defeat, losing to Zhang Weili earlier this year. She's currently ranked number 2. She's taking on Amanda Lemos, who most recently beat Yasmin Lucindo. She's ranked number 4. Both of these women have lost to the champ. Both of these women are looking to get back to the champ. They're easily 2 fights away. If you're asking me, I don't know if we're going to get the same version of Tatiana Suarez. I might lean Amanda Lemos, but we'll have to see. It could still be potentially good. UFC 320, October 4th. We're going to get to the main event and some other stuff in just a second. But Edmund, the Golden Boy Shabazzian, back in action. Who are they having him fight? Andre Munoz. Yes, son of a gun. We're having him fight another grappler. Andre Munoz, don't even remember the last time I saw Andre Munoz do something. I think Ikram Kasernov was knocking him out, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, I do remember Ikram Kasernov knocking him out with like a second left in round one. Edmund, Andre, I love it. Should be on the prelims of 320. Exciting stuff. And now let us get to the big four matchup. So first up, let's start with UFC 320. On the main card of UFC 320, probably going to be the third to last fight of the evening. The number two ranked light heavyweight on the planet, Jiří Procházka, takes on the number four ranked Khalil Roundtree Jr. Wow. Very surprised. I don't know what they're going to do with Carlos Ulberg. We're going to look at the rankings in a second, try and come up with something. But Jiří versus Khalil, I love it. I absolutely love this. Khalil Roundtree coming off that massive domination of Jamal Hill. That's for Jiří Procházka coming off a fight of the night against Jamal Hill, you know. So I think Jiří's performance was much better, but that's just my personal preference. This one should be absolutely fantastic. I have no idea what to expect, and I know how hard Khalil Roundtree hits. But, I mean, Jiří's right up there with Alex Pereira for the type of competition Khalil's faced before. Both men are looking to get back to a title shot. This is exactly how you do it. Jiří, Khalil, feed me it. The co-main event of UFC 320, the bantamweight champion Merab is back for not his first defense, not his second, but his third defense of 2025 as he takes on the number four ranked Corey the Sandman Sanhagen. Corey's coming off a win over Deiveson Figueiredo. Yes. Yes, Corey Sandhagen, after so long, 5-6 years you could even say, is finally getting his deserved title shot. I love it. And as for Merab, he's continuing his reign of terror, if you will. Dude's on a 13-fight winning streak. If he wins this, give him Fighter of the Year. Give him Fighter of the Year, and I'm going to be honest, my money is on him beating Corey here, Petr Yan beating Marcus McGee, and not to spoil my prediction, and Merab getting a fourth title defense in December. Merab, Fighter of the Year, dude, insane. Now, I will say that Corey Sandhagen has a chance here. He has a striking chance here. He is kind of a Sean O'Malley build, and judging on how Umar beat him, you know, you can kind of tell how he's going to fight and how Merab can beat him, but I do think Corey Sandhagen can prove to be a bit of a competition. But yes, Merab back for his third title defense. October 4th, UFC 320 in Las Vegas. And the main event going down on that card, UFC 320, the rematch, Magomed Ankalaev and the number one ranked light heavyweight, Alex Poatan Pereira. Yes, they've decided to run this back, and I don't really know what to expect. I don't know if Alex Pereira is going to do something different here, be a bit more offensive. Will Magomed mix in the grappling? I don't know, but Magomed Ankalaev is on a official 12-fight winning streak, a 14-fight unbeaten streak, and is 21-1 professionally, wins 2 losses. Dude is an absolute killer. Alex Pereira, 12-3, 9-2 in the UFC. I don't know. I don't really know. My money's on Magomed Ankalaev. If anything, I think Magomed might get a finish, but all the Alex Pereira fans are going to be coming out for this one and rooting for him. But yes, that is your UFC 320 main event, co-main event, and another amazing fight on the card. And your last official new fight to discuss, UFC 321, October 25th in Abu Dhabi, the main event, the heavyweight championship, Tom Aspinall versus Ciryl Gane. Yes, yes, absolutely. Ciryl Gane, somehow 10-2 in the UFC, who, by the way, he debuted 3-0. In the UFC, like in his MMA career. Now he's 10-2. Very impressive. Now, Ciryl is currently 0-2 in title opportunities. And mind you, he's had to face Francis Ngannou and John Bones Jones. Right now, Ciryl Gane has been averaging basically a fight, title shot, fight, title shot, fight, and now he's getting another title shot. I find that absolutely hilarious. I'm easily predicting Tom Aspinall to run through him. I think he's going to mix in a takedown this time, or even go out and clip Ciryl Gane right off the bat. But I think Ciryl Gane proves a tough competition for Tom Aspinall, and easily of all the opponents that he's faced, this is the toughest opponent to date. So that's what you're supposed to do for Tom Aspinall, just keep fighting upwards and upwards. But yes, Tom Aspinall, Ciryl Gane is official. No words on the UFC 319 co-main event. I think I might have some thoughts on that in a second. And as for the rest of heavyweight, we already know Volkov versus Almeida is going down on the same event. So I think you can kind of presume Jiří versus Khalil, winners getting a light heavyweight shot, Volkov versus Almeida getting a heavyweight shot. They're matchmaking both of those massive events with top five heavyweights and light heavyweights under the same championship matches they are taking place under. If you get what I'm kind of saying, I've kind of said that confusingly. But those are all your new UFC fights. A lot of them. I love them. them. Dana White, you are doing a wonderful job of making fights. But with that, let's get into the updated UFC rankings. We have had some updated UFC rankings, and some big shifts did take place. And we're just going to discuss what is going to be next for the division. So first up, women's bantamweight, women's flyweight, women's strawweight, women's pound for pound. No changes. And also, no real updates. I mean, Tatiana Suarez versus Amanda Lemos is quite honestly the biggest fight news we've had in terms of any women's division. No word on if Kayla and Amanda Nunes are fighting in November, December, January. No word on Zhang Weili and Valentina Shevchenko getting a second fight in 2025. The women's divisions are kind of dead right now. I can't even lie. The women's divisions are very dead, especially when it comes to women's main events. They've been trying to move away from them, and it's been kind of good. I hate to say that, but yeah, no news in the women's divisions at all. Men's heavyweight, well, we can do a little matchmaking here. Tom Aspinall taking on Ciryl Gane, Alexander Volkov taking on Halton Almeida, and Sergey Pavlovich taking on Waldo Cortez Acosta leaves Curtis Blaydes without an opponent. Derek Lewis coming off a massive knockout win, a little two-fight knockout streak. I think Derek Lewis and Curtis Blaydes is the next heavyweight main event you need to make. Let's do it in November, do it in December. I think that is a perfect matchup to make. Now, as for the rest of the gentlemen, you're going to need to move some people upwards. You're going to need to keep trying to break contenders into the rankings. Now, we're going to talk about some guy on this card called Marcus Bucera. Marcus Bucera is taking on Martin Boudet. If Marcus wins his fight against Martin Boudet, I think he should fight Marcin Tybura. As for the man who most recently lost to Curtis Blaydes, Ruslan Kuniev, I think he should take on Sergey Spivak. I say we keep trying to break guys into the top 15 at heavyweight. That's what you need to do. But no real updates right now. We do have a big heavyweight fight on this card, but I'm just happy the division's moving along and Tom Aspinall wants to have 3 to 4 title defenses per year. Dude's an absolute beauty. Moving on to light heavyweight, where no official changes have taken place, but Carlos Ulberg is kind of the odd man out here. I know we have Alexander Rakic versus Azamat Mirzakhanov going down, Nikita Krylov versus Bogdan Guskov we're going to mention on today's episode, but are we going to do Carlos versus Dominic Reyes or something? Are we going to do... I don't really know what we're going to do with Carlos Ulberg, to be honest. As for Jan Blachowicz, Jamal Hill, they're going to be fighting Dominic Reyes or probably, you know, Zhang Minyang if he beats Johnny Walker in August. But light heavyweight, we have some movement there, and I'm happy with it. Happy we're doing that. I would have preferred Alex Pereira versus Tom and Carlos Ulberg getting a title shot or even Jiří getting a title shot, but hey, I can't be building the fantasy matchups right here, right now. Middleweight division, Brandon Allen moves up to number 10 as Marvin Vettori drops down to number 11. Paulo Costa moves up 2 spots and is now tied with Marvin at 11. Rainer de Ridder drops down to 13 before his matchup with Robert Whittaker, which we will talk about on today's episode. Abus Magomedov up to 14 and Roman Kapilov down to 15. So yeah, Brandon Allen getting a win here. I think that if Robert Whittaker loses, Whittaker versus Allen could be a potential matchup you make. If Izzy wants to come back, Izzy versus Brandon Allen could be a matchup. Brandon Allen versus Jared Cannonier, win or lose, is something you can do. The loser of Vasiliy Ivanov and Cal Barallo, especially if it's Cal Barallo, could be Brandon Allen. Brandon Allen has a lot of opportunities, and all of them are in the top 10, which is very good for him. As for Marvin Vettori, it's back to the drawing board, okay? I'm thinking names like Ikram Alkhazarov. I'm thinking Abus Magomedov. Guys like that. I'd even throw in Gregory Rodriguez. Marvin Vettori is going to need to do something. He apologized. He acknowledged that to his fans that, you know, what he was doing wasn't enough. He's going to need to work on that. As for Paulo, I mean, you hate to admit it. Paulo Costa is a guy who just needed one win, and he's back in the mix. I would love to see a Jared Cannonier fight. I would love to see a Israel Adesanya rematch. I would love to see if Hamza Chimaev does lose to DDP. Let's just make Hamza versus Paulo, okay? Let's not act like Paulo Costa isn't very entertaining, and how he performed against Roman Kapilov, he appears to be back. Rare de Ritter, of course, will be fighting in the main event this weekend. Abus Magomedov, no real news on him, but him versus Marvin Vettori, I could definitely get behind. As for Roman Kapilov, I saw someone say he should fight Bo Nickel. That could be a potential opponent, but I'm thinking more of like our Ikram Alkhazarovs of the world. He's someone I'm super high on, and I think he can break into the rankings. That's what I want to do next. Dropping down to welterweight, Daniel Rodriguez is now in at 14 as we just straight up kick Kevin Allen from the rankings. Yeah, Daniel Rodriguez, good for you. 3-fight winning streak. Let's reward him. How about a fight with Colby Covington? How about a fight with Gilbert Burns? How about a fight with, I don't even know, Gabriel Bonfim? Good for you, Daniel Rodriguez. Jeff Neal moves up to 10, and Gilbert Burns drops down to 11 as well. Jeff Neal has a fight with Carlos Prates coming up here in about a month, and Gilbert Burns, I'm thinking, is debating retirement at this rate, but I would love to see Gabriel Blomfield at 13 take on Gilbert Burns. I don't know if they train at the same gym, but we just saw Gabriel struggle with Wonderboy Thompson. I would love to see him take on Gilbert Burns, and I think of all the prospects we've been having Gilbert Burns fight, JDM, Michael Morales, Gabriel Blomfield would be a great opportunity for him. So, welterweight division continues to move along. Lightweight division, this is where big changes are taking place. Max Holloway is now up to number 4 in the men's lightweight rankings, passing Justin Gaethje, who drops down to 5. Makes sense. Makes complete sense. And Aussie, I have Max up there at number 3. To be awesome. We should probably boot Islam from the rankings. But with the announcement of Tom Aspinall versus Ciryl Gane, you can now assume that JDM versus Islam cannot happen until what goes down every year, November 3rd, the big pay-per-view, Madison Square Garden. You can assume that Islam versus JDM is going to be going down in Madison Square Garden, New York. So I don't really know what we're going to do with that, but on standby until then. As for Ian Topura, will he fight Max Holloway? Will he fight Arn Tsarukyan? It's tough to say. I would rather see Max Holloway fight Charles Oliveira at 3 and just give Arn Tsarukyan a title shot than see Ian Topura. That's just me. Justin Gaethje at 5. I think everyone is guessing that the number 9 ranked Paddy Pimblett now will be taking on Justin Gaethje, but we're going to have to wait in the wings to see if that's the UFC 319 co-main event. Dana is still waiting on that. By the way, that card goes down August 16th. I am recording this podcast on July 23rd. We are under a month away and don't have a co-main event for UFC 319. Dan Hooker up to number 6. I mean, for Dan Hooker, he could also fight Max Holloway. He can fight Charles Oliveira. He can fight Arn Tsarukyan. So many options. Matheus Cameron at 7. I presume Matheus will fight down again. Maybe against the... I have no idea. Honestly, I don't know. But everyone kind of gets a boot upwards. Joel Alvarez has now debuted in the rankings at 15. Even though people said he was going to move up to welterweight, I guess he's not going to do that. I don't know. A lot of uncertainty at lightweight, which I don't really like. And certainly the gap between the top 5 people and the rest of the division are pretty drastic. But Dustin Poirier, no longer in the rankings. Thank you for all you've done, Dustin. Man, you gave us an excellent career. Back down to featherweight as Patricio Pitbull debuts in the rankings at number 11, following his win over Dan Ige. And they boot Dan 3 spots down to number 14. You can think that Dan Ige is going to be fighting an unranked contender, your Chepe Mariscals, your Nathaniel Woods, guys like that. That's what we're going to do. And as for Patricio Pitbull, I saw a good case that Pitbull is not going to be fighting up-and-comers. They're only going to give him big, names. So you have Josh Emmett versus Aljamain Sterling fighting. I think winner or loser of that is a fight for Patricio Pitbull, as well as someone like Arnold Allen, someone like, you could even say, Josh Emmett. Those are the names that Patricio Pitbull is going to be taking on. Steve Garcia drops down to number 12, with Pitbull debuting at 11. And Garcia, I don't know. I think Steve Garcia versus Yusuf Salal in the Apex, winner can move up, loser can go down. That's perfect. And for Giga Jakadze, who drops down to number 15, the fact you're even still in the rankings is a blessing. Let's make him fight a young, hungry up-and-comer. Bantamweight will be where we have the last bit of changes that we will talk about, as flyweight doesn't have anything, and the men's pound-for-pound has no changes whatsoever. So, Rob Font drops down to number 9, was currently tied with Mauro Batista at 8. That's a change. And Marcus McGee boops up to number 12 as Vinicius Oliveira is now ranked number 13. Kyle Phillips at 14. Montel Jackson at 15. So how are we going to match make all these people? So I think Rob Font versus Vinicius Oliveira match up just like that. Or you could even do Amin Zahabi versus Rob Font, but Vinicius Oliveira, give him a top 10 opponent. Rob Font and Marlon Vera are going to be taking on a combination of Amin Zahabi and Vinicius Oliveira. It's just a matter of who. Marcus McGee, we'll be talking about him versus Peter Yan on today's episode. Kyler Phillips at 14, definitely to an unranked contender. Definitely welcoming an unranked contender. We have Davey Grant and Damon Blackshear. If Damon Blackshear wins, let's do Kyler versus Damon. And Montel Jackson at 15. Dude deserves a big opportunity, but just, I don't know what to do with him. I don't know what to do with Montel Jackson. I feel like him versus Henry Cejudo doesn't make much sense, but let's just run Montel Jackson versus Henry Cejudo just for the heck of it, because why not? We can do whatever we want. We're matchmaking on this card. That's what we do. But yes, those are all the new rankings updates, ladies and gentlemen. Lots of updates lots of updates. Thank you so much, Dana White, always giving us these updates. I'm just kidding. He doesn't actually do the updates because he's always complaining about how they always do the updates so slow. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I say we dive right into our UFC Abu Dhabi predictions. We have 12 matchups, I believe, for you. No real cancellations or too many pullouts of any regard. We are ready to get right on into it. So without further ado, let's dive into your official UFC Abu Dhabi predictions and preview, if you want to call it that. We kick the things off with the number 13th ranked heavyweight, Martin Buday, taking on the debuting Marcus Buchecha. One of the two. Martin Badass Buday is 15-2. Marcus Buchecha, actually, we just call him Buch. Marcus Buch is 5-1. 6'4", 2. I don't know if I'm reading this wrong, guys. It says he's 5'4". I don't believe that for a second. I should probably cross-reference this, actually, that this guy is not actually 5'4" at a heavyweight. That cannot be right. The UFC stats page has to have messed that up. They have to have messed that up. I'm sorry. There's no way this guy is 5'4". Imagine if he is. No, it's just not humanly possible. I think they're both 6'4", guys. We're going to do some live Googling on the pod. But reach 77 inches to 72 in favor of Marcus, which makes sense, and an orthodox stance for both of these guys. I really hope it's an error. There's just no way Marcus Buchecha. How do I even spell Buchecha? UFC. There we go. Marcus Buchecha, UFC. And they aren't giving me much here, if I'm being honest. Let's check the Ultimate Fighting Championship official page. I gotta find his height on here somewhere, right? They have to list his height of some kind. They aren't listing any of his data. Height, 76 inches. 76 inches. That is... what is 76 inches? What is 76 inches in feet? This is fun. We do live Googling here on the pod. You can listen to my internal thoughts coming out. And literally no one is helping me. Guys, I'm going to assume he's 6'4". There's no way that this guy... 6'4". Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, internet. Oh, my goodness. But yeah, this man is a 6'4", apparently. UFC stats, fix your freaking page. But let's kick it off with Marcus Buday, now ranked at number 13. He's the underdog. Plus 225. Marcus is coming in minus 335. Big old favorite. Buday is 33 years old from Slovakia. 9 of his 15 wins have came by finish. 6 KOs and 3 subs. He was actually supposed to fight Kenny Nchuku on April 15th. That's the last time, or April 5th, I think it was. He ended up taking on short notice Yuron Satibaldiev. But overall, you know, not too bad in the UFC. He's sitting at 6-1. Only losses to Shamil Gaziev. You know, he's been kind of average. Been with the company since 2022. Buday, yeah. Picked up a win in April. Good for him. Hasn't gotten a finish since August of 2023. He's just left a little to be desired. You know, if I'm being honest, he kind of just does distance striking. Almost lost to Lucas Brzezik in 2022. Went the distance against Jake Collier. You know, I don't really know what to do with this guy. His opponent, though, Marcus, 5-1, 35 years old from Brazil, now lives in California, coming off of a win. Last time out of his 5 finishes, 1 KO, 4 subs, and his entire record is 5-1, so he loves to get it done. And this man is 39-9 in grappling matches. He is a BJJ master. That's the name of the game. And we love new heavyweights. We love breaking them in. And unlike past ones, I think Marcus can actually break it. If he can't, we're all doomed. If Martin Buday is stopping yet another guy from breaking into the rankings, I'm going to be pissed. But I got Marcus with a round one sub. I don't know what version we're going to get of this guy. He is 35 debuting. I've seen no footage of him, but I saw a picture of him when I was doing my stuff, and on Tapeology, he looks kind of cool. So Marcus Buchecha with a round one submission, or even we're going to go armbar. How about a little armbar on Martin Buday? But if Martin Buday wins, he'll be on a 3-fight win streak, can be ranked probably number 12. So if Marcus wins, he'll be looking up. And if Martin wins, he'll be looking maybe even a higher bit up. But yes, that is our lone heavyweight fight on the card. After that, we get our lone featherweight matchup on the card as Mohammed the UAE Warrior Yaha takes on Steven the Ninja Huynh. Mohammed 12-5, Steven 9-2, 5'11 to 5'9, 2 inches in height for Steven. Both men have a 73-inch reach, and both men have a switch stance. Very interesting. Steven, almost a minus 400 favorite. I did take these odds from a betting site on Monday, so just not really too accurate, but just to know, Steven's the favorite and Muhammad is the underdog, and it's leaning pretty heavily in Steven's favor. We'll start with Mohammed here, who is 31 years old, of course, from the United Arab Emirates, if you didn't get from his nickname. And of his 12 wins, he has 9 finishes, 7 KOs, and 2 subs. Out of his 5 defeats, he has been finished in 4 of them. 2 by knockout, 2 by sub. Last time he fought, August of 2024, Kyle Fernandez actually knocked him out in round number 1. In his debut in October of 2023, Trevor Peak beat him in a very highly contested matchup. Look, Mohammed, just abilities just haven't translated, you know, from being 12-3, dominating the UAE fighting league. He was doing great, but after getting to the UFC, running into Trevor Peak and Kyle Fernandez, just hasn't been doing much. And by the way, Kyle Fernandez is legit, wins over him and Guram Kuladze, but, you know, losing to Trevor Peak did not age very well, as Trevor Peak would not win a single matchup after losing to him. So, good stuff for Steven Wynn here, as he will be taking on a guy who's not coming in with a lot of momentum. As for Steven, I'd say Steven has a tiny bit of momentum coming in. The 32-year-old, born in Kansas, now training out of Fortis MMA in Texas, has 4 KOs and 3 subs out of his 9 wins. And of his 9 wins, 5 of them have came in round number 1. He actually fought on season 3 of Daywood's Contender Series before getting knocked out in round number 3. He would then come back in season 5 and beat Theo Ringyang, but was not impressive at all. He would then become one of the few rare fighters to fight on Daywood's Contender Series 3 times, knocking out AJ Cunningham in round 2 back in 2023. He had one lone fight in March of 2024, which was a fight of the night at the Apex against Jar No Aries. Look, I think Steven Wynn has improved greatly since losing to Aylin Cruz back in the day. And as for the Jarno Aarons fight, I mean, that was an absolute war. Could have gone either man's way. Just came down to Jarno Aarons landing more strikes and a knockdown in the final round. So we're going to go with Steven Wynn to get a decision victory here. But if there was ever a fight that Muhammad was going to win, it has to be here. But I've just seen little to be loved from him so far in his UFC run. Next up, light heavyweight action, as my pick for who is going to have the best rise of the light heavyweight division this year. Ibo, the Last Ottoman Aslan, is back to take on Billy, a son of Susie Elikana. Son of Susie gives me kind of serial killer vibes. I don't know. I don't really like that. Ibo is 14-2. Billy is 7-2. Both men are 6'3". Both men have a 77-inch reach. Ibo with the orthodox stance. Elikana with the southpaw. Interesting. Ibo, round of minus 300 favorite. Billy, around a plus 200 underdog. Yeah, Ibo Aslan, I was really high on coming into 2025. 29 years old from Turkey. All of his wins coming by knockout. And little did we know, he did not have that good of a ground game. Really not. When you're knocking out randoms like Anton Turkaljic and Rafael Sequeira, everything is good. But then you run into Ion Kulaba, who takes you down twice and submits you not even 3 minutes into round number 1. Yeah, that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing, Ibo Aslan. I can't even lie to you, bro. That was rough. But I think if he can work on that, if he can get around that, he should find some success. Now, unfortunately for Ibo, he is going to be taking on a guy who is all about the takedowns. That's right. Billy Elikana, 30 years old from Las Vegas. Out of those 7 wins, 3 KOs, and 1 sub. And when he last fought against Bogdan Guskov, he took him down right away and had an impressive almost 4 minutes of control time in round number 1. Now, did he end up losing control at the end of the round and almost getting submitted? Yes. Did he then get submitted in round number 2? Yes. But, you know, he showed some signs of being good. You know, we'll say that, but we're going to keep our predictions rolling. Ibo Aslan, round 1 knockout. I'm going to say Billy shoots for a takedown. Ibo can actually defend it, and he can get it done. But if we're going to see any success here, Ibo on the feet, Billy on the ground. That's where you're going to see that, but I am going to ride with Ibo Aslan. I'm going to say there's still power in those hands, and your only professional defeat in the UFC being to Ion Kudalaba isn't too bad in hindsight, but yeah. A good bounce-back win for Ibo Aslan would be much appreciated, we'll say. Next up, women's strawweight action, as Amanda Ribas and Tabitha Ritchie will be going at it. The number 7 and 10 women in the division. The number 7th ranked Amanda Ribas is 13-6. Baby Shark at number 10, Tabitha Ritchie, 11-3. 5'4 to 5'1, 3 inches in height for Ribas, and a notable 5 inches in reach. 66-61. Oh, 3 inches in height for Amanda Ribas. Orthodox stands for both of these ladies. Amanda Ribas minus 185, Tabitha plus 130. Odds are a bit closer compared to the previous fights we've been talking about. Ribas is 31 years old from Brazil and has 7 finishes out of her 13 professional wins. Got 3 KOs and 4 subs. And of her 6 defeats, she has been finished 4 times, 3 of them by knockout. She was submitted for the first time back in her main event in January. These two are actually supposed to fight July 19th, but For some reason, they had to reschedule it. Manny Emus has been with the UFC since 2019 and, you know, started off her run fairly hot. I mean, there was at one point in time, she was 10-1. And, you know, 4-0 in the company. Then gets knocked up by Marina Rodriguez. Then, you know, picks up a win. Then loses a fight of the night. Then picks up a win. Then gets knocked up by Macy Barber. Then picks up a win. And is now on a 2-fight losing streak. So, yes, she is 3-5 in her last 8. 1-3 in her last 4. Coming off of main event losses to Rose Namajunas. Most recently, Mackenzie Dern in January. Yay. She's all right. She's not exciting. I'll say that, sadly. I mean, okay, I will say the Leon Panero fight wasn't awful, but, you know, overall, I just never really gets me going. Nor watching Amanda Ribas fight. I do think she's a great opportunity to win here, but I do like Tabitha Ricci as an underdog. Baby Shark is 30 years old from Brazil, but now trains out of California. Of her 11 wins, she has 1 KO and 3 subs. She's coming off a loss to Yan Xiaonin in China back in November, and, you know, 2024 was going well for her. Had wins over Tisha Penta and Angela Hill, but unfortunately, Yan Xiaonin humbled her. Only defeats also in the UFC are to Lupi Godinez and Manon Fiora. Holds wins over Jillian Robertson, Jessica Penne, and Pollyanna Viana. You know, she's not too bad. This is very 50-50, if I'm being honest. And when it comes to these 50-50 contests, it's really tough to know what you're going to get. I mean, this could go either way. Nothing will surprise me here. There will be no shockers for this contest. I can see either woman winning. I can see them winning by knockout, most likely by decision. I can even see some subs in there. But Tabitha, sitting with a 5-3 UFC record, she is on the more of a come up, but that Yan Xiaonin win just didn't really leave me with much. So I am going to, I don't know if I want to pick Amanda Ribas, to be honest. I would rather pick Tabitha Ricci. I feel like she's been doing better, but we do have a bit of size for Ribas. This one's tricky, guys. I will say that Amanda Ribas has taken on tougher competition. Macy Barber, Rose Namajunas, and Mackenzie Dern. So we're actually going to go with Amanda Ribas in this contest, but I don't really expect much from any of the ladies, if I'm being honest. I do like Tabitha Ricci here, but we're going to ride with Amanda Ribas. Next up, Davy Grant and Damon Blackshear. One of my favorite matchups. I'm so excited for this one. Dangerous Davy Grant and the monster Damon Blackshear. Davy 16-7, Damon 17-7 with a draw. 5'10 to 5'8, 2 inches in height for Damon and 3 inches in reach. 72-69. Switch stance for Blackshear, orthodox for Davy Grant. Davy Grant, the plus 220 underdog. Damon, the minus 330. Favorite. Davy Grant, fighting for the first time since December. The 39-year-old is from England and now trains out of Las Vegas and has 11 finishes of his 16 wins, 4 KOs, and 7 subs. Of his 7 defeats, he has been submitted 4 times. He was actually supposed to fight Daniel Santos on April 5th, but Daniel and him just never worked out. I don't know if he pulled out or something, so he hasn't fought since December. And Davy Grant's been with the UFC since 2013 and kind of just, you know, lost his debut, would then go away for 3 years, came back 2016 to 2019, had a little stint, kind of went 2-2, didn't amount to much, actually did win against Marlon Vera, oddly, and then 2020 comes around, starts getting some big knockout wins, eventually has a fight of the night against Marlon Vera, and a fight of the night against Adrian Yanez, could have gone either way. 2022 comes around, knocks out Luis Smolka, then is able to submit Rafael Sunstall with an inverted triangle, then loses a split decision to Daniel Marcos, and then recently humbled Ramon Taveras. Davy Grant is just the old guy that whoops all the young boys. I mean, this guy is absolutely such a savage. Always a treat to watch him compete. I'll tell you who else is a treat to watch compete, if that rhymes. Damon Blackshear, 30 years old from North Carolina. 13 of his 17 wins are by finish, and he has 2 knockouts and 11 subs. He is sitting at 5-3 with a draw in the UFC, but this dude has taken Yusuf Zal to a draw, all right, who he fought on short notice, then lost to Fareed Bashrat, then 2 straight wins in a row, including a twister. Would then lose to Mauro Batista, then Montel Jackson in July of 2024. But then, November 2024, submits Cody Stammen. March comes back, submits Cody Gibson. Most recently fought in April and beat Olatenge. So, Damon coming in some momentum here. I have liked what I've seen from him so far. And I do believe that the knockout loss to Montel Jackson should not limit him at all. Okay, it should not limit him, or should it hold him back on anything that he will achieve. So we are going to pick Damon Blackshear to get this one done. And we've reached that point in the podcast where I realized I am starting to pick every single favorite, which didn't work out on UFC 318. I'm starting to regret that Amanda Hebus Tabitha Ritchie pick, but we already made it. We can't turn back. I guess I could turn back, but I'm not going to. Next up, I don't know if it's going to be our final prelim. I think it's our second to last, but welterweight action as the King of Kung Fu, Muslim Salikov, is back to take on the Lion, Carlos Leal. Muslim is 21-5. Carlos is 22-6. 5'11 for both of these men, 4 inches in reach for Carlos Leal is the one advantage I see, 74-70, and an orthodox stance for both of our gentlemen. Tale of two stories here. Muslim coming in 41 years old. Carlos Leal, 31 years old. I mean, wow. Carlos Leal, massive favorite, getting it up into the minus 500 ranges, and Muslim is now in the plus 300 range. So, big underdog for Muslim Salikov here. Muslim is 41 years old from Russia, has 16 of his 21 wins by finish, 13 KOs and 3 subs. Of his 5 defeats, he's been finished 4 times, split both ways, submissions and knockouts. Muslim, been in the UFC since 2017, has had some fun fights, I'd say, all around, you know, wins over Elizios Lesquito Santos, Andre Filho, currently on a 2-fight win streak with win over Santiago Ponzinibbio, and a round 1 head kick of Song Kinong. Dude's exciting. Now, he's also been finished by Li Jingliang, finished by Randy Brown. I mean, Muslim Salikov is just 41. You gotta remember that. So, I don't know how he's gonna come into this one ready or not, but overall, Muslim Salikov always appears to be game, no matter his age. His opponent, though, is coming in with something to prove. Carlos Leal, 31 years old from Brazil, 11 knockouts and 2 subs make up his 22 career victories. And of his 6 defeats, he has only ever been submitted once. And by the way, the only man to ever beat him besides Renat Fakhretdinov in the UFC is Saba Dusso in the last, I don't even know, decade. But yes, Carlos Leal debuted in October, lost to Renat Fakhretdinov in a very close contest, came back in March of this year, and had a round 1 knockout of Alex Morono. Absolutely teed off on him. Carlos Leal, of course, a Bellator PFL guy. I expect big things of him. I really do. I think Carlos is coming over, ready to destroy, ready to take over, and this is where he has another big moment. I'm going Carlos Leal round 1 knockout. All right, Carlos Leal round 1 knockout. Take it to the bank. Let's do it. Give me Carlos Leal all day. And even though he is kind of a big favorite, and we're picking all the big favorites, it's hard not to like me a little Carlos Leal after his performance against Alex Morono. But yeah, that is either going to be the final prelim, which I think they're going to do a 5-fight main card since on ABC, which means this will be the final prelim heading to the men's bantamweight division as Bryce Thugnasty Mitchell makes his bantamweight debut against Saeed Nurmagomedov. And Bryce Thug, 17-4, Saeed, 18-4, 5'8-5'10, 2 inches in height for Bryce, 70-inch reach for both men, southpaw stance for Bryce, orthodox for Saeed. These two are so closely matchmaked. I mean, this is the closest odds on the card, minus 130, minus 110, keeps flip-flopping. I don't know how Bryce is going to do a bantamweight. I really don't. It's a tough debut for him in Saeed Nurmagomedov. But Bryce, 30 years old from Arkansas, has 10 of his 17 wins by finish, 1 KO and 9 subs. And is all of his losses, he has been finished in. He's been submitted by Ito Pira, knocked out by Josh Emmett, and most recently, almost knocked out and definitely submitted with a guillotine choke in round number 2 by Gene Silva. So yeah, Bryce Mitchell has kind of had a tough go. In the last 5 fights, he's gotten 2 wins, suffered 3 defeats. But, you know, he's good. He's good. Let's not act like it. He had the second twister ever in UFC history. He had a fight of the night, and there was only 26 total significant strikes landed. Don't know how that's possible. Wins over Andre Feely, Edson Barbosa, Dan Ige. He even got Cron Gracie kicked out of the UFC. That's how badly he beat him. Bryce Mitchell, don't sleep on him. He is very good. I mean, when we look at his defeats, Ito Piro, Josh Emmett, Jim Silva, we can kind of give him a pass. But the one thing we can't give him a pass on is an easy opponent for his bantamweight debut as he takes on Saeed Nurmagomedov. 33 years old from Russia. 10 of his 18 wins are by finish, 4 KOs and 6 subs, and he has never been finished in his 4 defeats. He actually had 3 canceled bouts in 2024, which is why his last fight before his one in February was in October of 2023. He did have a fight at UFC Saudi Arabia where he was able to lose to Vinicius Oliveira in a fight of the night, but it was so close and he really brought the best in Vinicius Oliveira. And after watching Vinicius against Kyler Phillips, I think this shows more just how dang good Saeed Nurmagomedov is. I personally don't think he has lost any of the decisions he's lost. The Rayone Barcelos fight, I thought he won. The Jonathan Martinez fight, I thought he won. And the Vincius Oliveira fight won. Even though I picked Vincius, I had Saeed Nurmagomedov winning. So, Saeed, when he does fight, I mean, this dude has had multiple round one guillotine chokes. Loves that. Multiple round one knockouts. He is action-packed. And if anything, I think it's just going to be a matter of if he can defend the takedowns. I think that's going to be what really is the deciding factor here. And I, you know, Saeed will occasionally shoot for the takedowns, but I think he's going to take a more standing approach here. And I can kind of see two things. I can see Bryce taking him down, three rounds dominating him, or I can see Saeed Nurmagomedov catching Bryce Mitchell in a guillotine. And if I'm being honest, I think I see the guillotine more than I see Bryce getting takedowns. Saeed has looked very good through his first few fights. And, you know, despite this being year 7 for him, he still feels kind of new. You know, he still feels like he's on the come up. And with a win over Bryce Mitchell, he could start calling for ranked opportunities. So we are going to ride with Saeed Nurmagomedov. He's from Russia. You know, he's kind of got the hometown base. We're going to go with Saeed Nurmagomedov to beat Bryce Mitchell. But I'll tell you, these fights are really close, and I'm not 100% sold on Saeed. So if Bryce does end up being a, you know, underdog, definitely throw some money on him. Getting right on into our main card now. Light heavyweight division. This is a jam-packed main card. Like, this is a pay-per-view level main card if we have a title fight in the main event. This is just fantastic. Light heavyweight division. Bogdan Guskov at number 13, taking on number 10 ranked Nikita Krylov. And I've been waiting a while for these two to get after. I know Bogdan had fights linked with Johnny Walker, and Nikita Krylov definitely should be making a quick turnaround, but just, you know, happy to see these two in action. The minor, Nikita Krylov, 30-10. Bogdan Cesarevich Guskov, 17-3. Both men are 6'3", 77-inch reach to 76-inch reach, 1-inch for Nikita, and an orthodox stance for both of our gentlemen. Odds are pretty close. Guskov is the underdog. Thankfully, Nikita Krylov is the favorite. Let's start with Nikita, 33 years old from Ukraine. Actually went on hiatus of fighting, which I'm pretty sure he was fighting on the front lines of the Ukraine-Russia war. I don't know for certain, but 28 of his 30 wins have came by finish, 12 KOs and 16 subs. Of his 10 defeats, he's been finished in 8 of them, 6 of those times by submission. Nikita returned from his 2-year hiatus to take on Dominic Reyes in April and was knocked out in 2.5 minutes. So, yeah, he kind of got ahead of himself. It looked like the Jose Aldo Conor McGregor knockout. You know, Nikita just rushed in. Dominic slips, hits him with the right, and he was out cold. But Nikita, we've known about him for a while. Been with the UFC since 2013. He actually holds wins over Walt Harris, Marco Sergio de Lima, Ed Herman, Ovin St. Preux, Johnny Walker, Alexander Gustav, Volkan Ozdemir, and the last win he had, March of 2023, a round one triangle choke of Ryan Spann. Other names he has fought in: Glover Teixeira to a split decision, Magomed Ankalaev to a decision, Paul Craig, I mean, also Misha Serkinov, Jan Blachowicz, Ovin St. Preux. I mean, this dude has fought in a lot of tough people. Nikita looking to get back into the win column. This is a quick turnaround, especially against the knockout artist himself in Bogdan Guskov. Bogdan is 32 years old from Uzbekistan, but now fights out of Russia. 17 wins, 17 victories, 14 knockouts, and 3 subs. Of his 3 defeats, he's been finished twice, once by sub, once by knockout. Debuted in September of 2023 in Volkan Ozdemir. Submitted him. Yeah, it was clearly too green. Clearly the short nose fight didn't work. Didn't go well. Then debuts in February of 2024 again, or bounces back, I should say, not debuts. Knocks out Zach Pauk in round one. Then knocks out Ryan Spann in round two. Last fight out, January 2025, was supposed to fight Johnny Walker. Instead fights Billy Elicata, who we just talked about. Survives a round one to then submit him in round number two. Bogdan Guskov coming in with tons of momentum. Looks and appears to be ready. This is a massive step up in competition for him, but I do think he can pass it. I'm going with Bogdan Guskov, round one knockout. I think Nikita returning too soon. I think knockout power is going to touch his chin, a little 1-2 down the pipe, and Bogdan Guskov will pick up another victory. I am looking forward to that matchup. Next up, ranked flyweight action. We got Asu Almabayev back in the pocket. Number 9 ranked Asu Almabayev was supposed to be taking on the number 13th ranked Ramazan Temeriyev. Unfortunately, Ramazan pulled off, so Zulfikar will be taking on Jose Kalizifer Ochoa. What are these nicknames? Asu Zulfikar Almabayev and Jose Kalizifer Ochoa. kind of crazy. Asumabayev is 21-3. Jose is 8-1 with a no contest. 3 inches in height for Jose, 5'7" to 5'4". Also 2 inches in reach, 65-67. Southpaw for Jose, orthodox for Asumabayev. -125 for Asu, -110 for Jose Ochoa. Number 9 ranked, Asu Almabayev is from Kazakhstan and has 12 finishes, 3 KOs, and 9 subs of his 21 professional wins. Of his 3 defeats, he's been finished in 2 of them. Currently sitting with a 4-1 UFC record, he picked up wins over Ode Osborne, CJ Vergara, Jose Johnson, and Matthias Nicolau to start his UFC career. Finally, he had a short notice main event against Manal Cape in March when he was knocked out in round 3. Now, people are calling that a early stoppage, but he was literally running away from Manal Cape. I mean, I kid you not, Asumabayev was on the sprint trying to get away from Manal Cape, but he's back looking to get in the win column. He is a grappler at heart. Through his first 4 UFC fights, he boasted an impressive 18 takedowns, and he was only taken down once, so good stuff for Asumabayev so far in his UFC career. Let's not hold him against him that his one loss is to Manel Cape. His opponent, Jose Ochoa, 24 years old from Peru, 8 victories, 8 knockouts, 7 KOs, and 1 sub. He had a very tough round 1 against Cody Durden in June before, you know, actually knocking him out 11 seconds of the round 2, earning himself a performance of the night. That was at UFC Atlanta, and Jose, yeah, that was a nasty knockout. Larry Cohen was like, let's get it on. They dap up. Jose does a little combo, and Durden is out like a leg. I think it was an uppercut, honestly. His one defeat was in his debut in China against Loner Kavanaugh. Very close contest. And Jose, I think, is going to go far. I think he's kind of in this Azat Maksum range where he is just going to run into yet another tough up-and-comer, if you will, on Asumabayev. I think Asu is going to grapple him to death. And unlike Cody Durden, I think Asu could even get a submission here in round 1 or 2. So I got Asu Almabayev beating Jose Ochoa, but don't sleep on that knockout power. Jose could pull off yet another upset. Now we get into the big 3 matchups, I'm going to call them, but overall this card is simply fantastic. Starts at 11 a.m. Minnesota time, Central time for the prelims. Main card, 2 p.m. Super pumped for that. First up for our big 3 middleweight action, he is back, the Bullet, Shahrabagomedov, back from his little hiatus since February to take on power bar MAB, Marc-Andre Barriot. Shara is 15-1, Marc-Andre Barriot 17-9 with a no contest. 6'2 to 6'1, 1 inch in height for Shara, and 1 inch in reach for Mark, 74 to 73. Orthodox stance for both of our fighters. Shara, massive favorite. You already knew he was going to be. I mean, I saw he was at minus 900 last time I checked. Marc-Andre Barriot was approaching plus 500. So, Shara coming into this one, massive favorite. He is from Moscow. He has 12 knockouts of his 15 wins. Yeah, Shara is a killer. Started out his UFC career 4-0 with a fight of the night against Michael Lukajsek and knockouts of Armin Petrosian and Antonio Tricoli. In February, fought MVP and just couldn't figure it out. I think it was like MVP and Shara have such odd striking kickboxing styles, and Shara never once tried to mix in the takedowns. MVP just kind of distantly outstruck him and wrapped up a 30-27, 30-27, 29-28 unanimous decision. I mean, it was legit. Outstrikes him by 4 in round 1, outstrikes him by 7 in round 2, is then outstruck in round 3 by 6. It didn't even matter. And look at that, MVP is now fighting Jared Cannonier, the weird way the world works. But Shara overall, when he takes on, you know, non-strikers, does appear to have some success. And we'll see how he does against Marc-Andre Barriot. Marc-Andre is 35 years old from Quebec, Canada, but now fights out of Florida. 11 KOs and 1 sub make up his 17 professional victories. And of his 9 defeats, he's only ever been KO'd 3 times and submitted once. So, not too shabby. I will say, of those KO losses, they have been in his last 2 knockouts against Dustin Stolfus and Joe Pfeiffer, but we won't hold against him too much. His last win was in May. You know, he knocked out Brutal Silva in 87 seconds. He knocked out Brutal Silva. Impressive stuff from Barriot. Before that, his last win came in June of 2023. Been fighting since 2019, and while he doesn't have the best UFC record, I mean, I'm pretty sure he's sitting with a 6-8 with a no contest in the UFC. He always seems to kind of bring a bit of intensity, and, you know, tough opponents all around. Chidi and Chukane, Anthony Hernandez, Eric Anders, Chris Curtis, Junyoung Park, Christoph Jocko. He's fought in a lot of tough, unranked middleweights. This is a big opportunity for him against Shahrabagomedov, and certainly whoever wins this is going to be looking upwards at a ranked opportunity. I can almost guarantee it. If Shahrabagomedov wins, they're going to get him in there with Roman Kopylov, Abus Magomedov, dare I even say Marvin Vettori, trying to get him back in the win column. So I'm going with Sharon Mogamanov, big fan of the Bullet. We're not going to completely give up on him yet after one loss to MVP. We ride with him, and I thought that I accidentally highlighted MAB for a second, but I didn't. I correctly highlighted Sharon Mogamanov. That always happens to us when we accidentally highlight the wrong person, and last time it ended up being we actually highlighted Michael Johnson, and we should have wrote him. But the last time before, we had accidentally highlighted Max Green. Glad I didn't change as Chris Curtis got the win. So no mess up so far with two fights to go. Our co-main event, it is so random. So random, and I absolutely love it. The number 12 ranked now, Marcus McGee takes on the number 3 ranked Piotr Jan in the men's bantamweight division. Piotr No Mercy Jan coming in minus 455. Marcus the Maniac McGee plus 290. Piotr Jan 18-5. Marcus McGee 10-1. 5'8 to 5'7 winch in height for Marcus and 2 inches in reach as well. 69-67. Orthodox for Marcus. Switch stance, of course, for Piotr No Mercy Jan. It's crazy to think that Piotr Jan is already 32. It wasn't too long ago, at 27 years old, he was winning the Bantamweight Championship against Jose Aldo. He then had his three-fight saga, if you will, or two-fight saga with Aljamain Sterling. It was supposed to be three fights, but instead he ended up fighting Corey Sandhagen in there, running into a terrible split decision loss against Sean O'Malley. The alteration of just careers with that was insane. His last defeat in March of 2023 was, of course, to Merab Dvevashvili. But since then, beat Song Yedong in March of 2024 and beat Devin Figueiredo in November of 2024, both in dominant style. Piotr Jan been a killer since he came in 2018. I mean, his knockouts of Teruto Ishira and Uriah Faber are absolutely awesome. Fight of the Nights with Sandhagen, Jim Soon Young, and Sean O'Malley are just amazing. And his leg kicks against John Dodson, Jimmy Rivera, just nasty. Piotr, he is 32 years old from Russia, 7 KOs and 1 sub, so not too many finishes of his big 18-win career, but he has never been finished in all 5 of his defeats. And of course, we can acknowledge that of his 4 UFC fights, 1 was a DQ, 2 were split decisions where the verdict scorecard had him winning, and the other one was to Merab Dvevashvili, who, by the way, he took down Merab. Think about that. He took down Merab and did land 75 seven strikes against him, so he still had a bit more punch to pack than some people do against Merab. Piotr Jan, happy to see you back. Always been a fan of him, and this should be a layup, but don't sleep too much on the Maniac, Marcus McGee. 35 years old from Detroit, but now fights out of Phoenix, Arizona. Actually fights out of the same gym as Cannoneer and I think Sean and Henry Cejudo, MMA Lab, you know, out there in Phoenix. He is on a nice little win streak here, 6 straight fights, and he has 9 of his 10 wins coming by finish. 8 KOs and 1 sub. His one defeat was a submission a long time ago. Debuted in 2023 with a round 2 rear naked choke. His knockout of JP Baez and Gaston Bolanos both put him on the map. And then in November 2024, he beat Jonathan Martinez to break into the bottom of the rankings. He looked pretty good in that. All right, did kind of fade at the end, but not too badly. He really had Jonathan Martinez on the ropes the entire time. Absolutely like Marcus McGee when he's fighting unranked guys, but it's Piotr Jan. It's Piotr Jan. Let's not act like Marcus McGee is going from Gaston Bolanos and Jonathan Martinez to Piotr Jan, and Piotr Jan is going from Song Yedong, Devin Figueiredo to Marcus McGee. Okay, I think Marcus is going to prove as a fun challenger, though, but I do have a round 3 knockout for Piotr Jan. I think this is a perfect opportunity for Piotr to come in, get a knockout finish, but I think win or lose, if, you know, I think no matter what facet he wins, he'll get a title shot. But if he loses, Marcus McGee, Merab Dvevashvili, book it tomorrow. That is the fight I want to see, because if McGee can pull it off, it's going to be the biggest upset of the weekend. I don't care about those minus 900 odds for Shara, those minus almost 400 for Steven Wynn. The biggest upset of the weekend will be if Marcus McGee beats Piotr Jan. I don't see it happening, but I can always hope for it. You know, I always love seeing upsets even when I fail to predict them. It's just fun to see. But I am going to go with Piotr No Mercy Jan. With that, we get into our main event, ladies and gentlemen, and we head to the men's middleweight division as the number 5 ranked middleweight, the former men's middleweight champion, the Reaper, Robert Whittaker, takes on the man, RDR, Rainer Day Ritter from the Netherlands. That's right, and he's coming in at number 13 now. Wow, a 5 versus 13, a 3 versus 12. We got some big odd gaps here in our co-main and main event in terms of rankings. Norbert Whitaker, minus 165. RDR, plus 120. Very close odds. The Reaper, 27-8. RDR, 20-2. 6'4 to 6'4. 4 inches in height for Rainer Day Ritter. And has 5 inches in reach. 78-73. Southpaw for Rainer. Orthodox for Robert Whitaker. Both men, 34 years old. The Reaper is from Australia. And out of his 27 wins, has 15 finishes. 10 KOs and 5 subs. Of his 8 defeats, he's been finished 5 times. And of those 5, he's only ever been submitted twice. Oddly enough, the last time he fought, he was submitted. Robert Whitaker, been in the UFC since 2012. Dude's been a legend. I mean, fought at welterweight to start his career, then moved up to middleweight, went on the insane run, wins over Brad Tavares, Uriah Hall, Derek Brunson, Jacare Souza, the Yael Romero fights, Israel Adesanya, Darren Till, Jared Cannonier, Kevin Gastelum, I mean, Marvin Vettori, Driscus Duplessis, Paul Costa, Ekramok said that this dude has never had an easy fight in his entire career. Last time he fought was in October, and Hamza Chimaev submitted him in 3.5 minutes. But before that, he had knocked out Ikram Ankasaraf in June in under 2. So pretty impressive. Whitaker doesn't really know what he's fighting for. You know, he's not really near a title shot, but certainly a win here against RDR could restart that, if you will. I don't really know. Whitaker, always exciting. He's such a good person, and this should be a winnable fight for him, but I do think it's going to prove some challenges and similar to the stuff that he faced against Khamzat Chimaev when he takes on RDR Rainer Day Ritter. Rainer, also 34, from the Netherlands, of course, on a 4-fight winning streak, has 18 of his 20 wins coming by finish, 4 KOs, and a whopping 14 subs. Both of his losses came in knockouts to Anatoly Malatanchkin, who was a 1-championship fighter. Of course, that's where RDR came from. Debuted in November of 2024. Already main eventing against Robert Whitaker. That's crazy. Submitted Gerald Meerschaert in a fun fight. Then debuted in 2025, or his first fight in 2025, I should say, was a 3.5-minute submission of Kevin Holland. Following that, he would become the first man to beat Bo Nickel in Des Moines in May, actually knocking him out with a knee. Rainer Day Ritter has kind of came in and gotten some layups here with Gerald Meerschaert coming on and Bo Nickel, and all signs really point towards a Robert Whitaker win here. Striking-wise, I think that Whitaker has a nasty advantage, but we saw Robert kind of struggle against Hamza Chimaev in the grappling realm, and that's going to be all Rainer Day Ritter is about. I really love breaking new guys into the top of the division, so that's why I'm riding with Rainer Day Ritter. Plus, it's fun to pick against Robert Whitaker, because Robert Whitaker has that like one-punch power, so you're always waiting for him to just rock your guy. But I could see Rainer closing the gap, managing to lock on a submission of some regard, but if he stands at distance, he's going to get chopped up with leg kicks, beat up by Robert Whitaker. I say the one thing I don't see this doing going the distance. I think we're going to get a good amount of finishes on this UFC Abu Dhabi card, which at times can be a rarity. So my prediction, RDR, and we're going round two sub. Round two sub, I think that you're just going to see Whitaker maybe get caught here. And by the way, Rainer has power. Let's not act like he didn't knock out Bo Nickel pretty freaking easily. So final predictions, Rainer Day Ritter, Pyotr Yan, Shahram Magomedov, Assoum Abayev, Bogdan Guskov, Saeed Magomedov, Carlos Leal, Damon Blackshear, Manda Hibas, Ivo Aslan, Steven Wynn, and Marcus Buchecka. The only real change I made, if I'm being honest, was Amanda Hibas. And that's just because I never know what these women fights. I never absolutely know. But yes, those are our UFC Abu Dhabi official predictions. A lot of UFC on today's episode. But once we're back, we'll have much more exciting stuff to talk about. I wonder if I should do another ranking of some regard. I should probably get on the rankings. I have this massive paper I need to go write, though, to wrap up my final class ever for college. Unless I go back and get my master's, who knows. But we'll stop rambling. We'll get right on to it. Sending you on your week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Hit me up. Let me know who you guys are riding with for UFC Abu Dhabi. We'll be back to recap this entire freaking card. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll catch you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.